Hey everybody, welcome back to the Football Spectacle with Nick and Archie.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to episode number 10. Nick, we made it to double digits.
Yeah, only took us a year.
Only took us 1 year. Hey, it's better than 9 episodes.
Oh, so much better.
Which we honestly were at last week, to be honest. So
yeah, it's good to get past that hurdle.
Yeah, now we're going to make 100 episodes in the next week.
All right, let's do it.
Okay. Well, you guys know what we'll be doing for the next week. We'll be stuck in this room just doing this, I guess. So today we have a very, I guess, recent matter and a fun little one for Nick and I. We did an episode similar to this back in the day when this other team was struggling, and now they're actually doing okay.
Yeah, they took some of our advice, actually. Yeah. I mean, not a ton of it, because they spent a lot of money that we said maybe don't spend this kind of money, but
yeah,
for those, you know, they've studied the ship.
For those of you who don't know, we're talking about our How to Save Barcelona episode, where, yeah, I mean, Barcelona is obviously doing much better now and they're in a much more comfortable position, but, you know, Nick and I's kind of pragmatic approach to it was buy smart. They've decided to just buy
more.
Yes, and levers, which, to be honest, Nick and I didn't know were a thing at that point. So, yeah, I guess we're finding out new things every day. But today, we are going to be doing the same kind of thing where Nick and I are going to be putting ourselves in the manager's position of a team that is looking quite dodgy right now.
Yeah, and things were really looking up for them the last few months. They got a new coach. With a new, I mean, not that much different style of play, but new ideas, and things were starting to look up after years and years of failures, terrible coaches, even worse players, and a very, very bad ownership. And it seems like they've continued to make mistakes.
Exactly. And I'm sure by now you've probably clocked on, and if you haven't, well, you're going to right now. We are talking about bottom of the Premier League, Manchester United. I love to see it personally, as a Chelsea fan, but I feel bad for you United supporters out there. Shout out, Mr. Dow.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I'm starting to feel really bad for them at this point.
Yeah.
Seeing like the soul of my friends my friends who are fans. Just kind of being drained from their bodies. Yeah. It's tough out here for them.
It is pretty tragic, and it's not going to get any better with their game this weekend being Liverpool. So it's just going to go from bad to worse, and I think their trajectory right now is definitely not looking good. So Nick and I are going to take over Ten Hag's position for today, and we're going to kind of, you know, break down how we would kind of do his job and kind of, you know, what changes we would make, what players we'd bring in. Maybe, you know, we can talk a little tactical as well. You know, just kind of overall what we feel United need to get back on the right foot, and, you know, to get back to be honest, I hate to say it, but where they belong, which is at the top of the league.
Yeah, and this is more of a short-term outlook. There's only 2 weeks left in the window, so this is kind of how they should use those 2 weeks in order to kind of steady the ship and take it to next summer, where they can really start ripping apart the squad. Because, to be honest, they really should have done that this summer.
Exactly.
I mean, I remember when Ragnick came in, he said, 10 players need to leave, and 10 players need to be signed. Mm-hmm. And they've signed 2, and they haven't really let many players go.
Exactly. Yeah, so, yeah, this is going to be a very, you know, like we did with Barcelona, it's going to be a very pragmatic approach. We're not just going to be, you know, signing and selling whoever we want. You know, we may highlight the players who we think need to leave, but, you know, this, since we're nearing the end of the window now, we got to be, you know, Man United still have to go about it with a smart approach, because, you know, the likelihood of them, you know, doing what Nick just said, signing multiple players and, you know, kicking multiple out is quite unlikely. So yeah, I guess why don't we just get right into the core reason why we think Man United's struggling right now?
Well, I think a big part of it is that the culture is still the same as it was under Solskjaer and the same under Ragnick. Mm-hmm. And it's been the same style of football, which, I mean, is a good style of football, but these coaches don't have the players to implement it the way they want to. I think a huge mistake was letting Conte go to Tottenham. He would have come in, done a 3-4-3, and really at least steadied the ship a little bit and changed the culture. And they've allowed the culture to be stagnant. They haven't made the players signings or exits that would have changed anything. And even De Gea said after the 4-0 loss to Brentford, it still feels the same as last year. We concede a goal and we panic. That needs to change now.
Exactly. And I think that that's, you know, obviously now that we've seen it under multiple managers, you know, to begin with when Ollie was at the wheel, you know, everyone thought that was his downfall and that was his issue. But I think, you know, now we're all slowly starting to see that maybe this is more related to the players. I think that they have a very, very, very poor dressing room atmosphere. Obviously, you know, we don't see everything, but, you know, you can kind of tell that that team looks a bit broken right now mentally. And, you know, I think there are definitely a few catalysts for that. But, you know, they're not acting like a professional top four candidate Premier League team should act right now. And I think that that's a big part of their downfall is mentally. They're not where they need to be right now.
So should we look at how they should change that in terms of letting players leave?
I think so. I think we should discuss the positions where I think they really need to improve on, and to be honest, just players they need to let go. Because right now, Nick and I were chatting about this, I think last week sometime, and we were saying that, you know, I mean, to be honest, I would do a full squad overall if I had the choice. But, you know, I would say at least six of their 11 starters need to be changed.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Their midfield needs a drastic overhaul. Their defense is good on paper, but there's something is wrong there. I think we know who is the main culprit of that.
Yes, the GOAT.
Even De Gea is a great shot stopper, but he can't use his feet, which is becoming very important nowadays. Yeah. Even Ederson isn't great at saving shots, but he's so good with his feet that Pep loves him and will not drop him regardless. Exactly.
Yeah.
And even their attack, they haven't scored in two games. And they have CR7 up front, and Jadon Sancho, and Marcus Rashford, and Bruno Fernandes, Eriksen. Like, these are talented guys who we know can put up numbers, and they're not.
Yeah, definitely. I think, looking, you know, if we're going from back to front here, I think goalie, you know, De Gea has been a very loyal servant and a great player for Man United throughout the years. But I think, you know, in the past, like 3 years, he just hasn't really been cutting it to be like a, you know, a top goalie. And I think now we're slowly starting to see, I mean, from that Brentford game, he obviously did make a couple bad mistakes, but, you know, I think they might want to start looking at a new goalie. And also their backup goalie is Tom Heaton. They don't even have a third goalie anymore.
Yeah, and that is a priority for them. Apparently they're looking for someone. They're going to spend between 5 and 10 million to try and get a backup who can compete with the De Gea.
Yeah.
But there's not many options at the moment. I don't know if they can sign anyone that can realistically step into De Gea's shoes.
Yeah.
But next, I think that's more of a next summer thing to do.
I agree. They might just need to sign someone who's, you know, kind of average, who can just kind of fill in. But I think one massive mistake that they made in the goalkeeper position was letting Dean Henderson go.
Yeah, I think he was very fed up because he was. He wasn't promised the starting role last season, but there was a lot of input that he got that he had a good chance at least playing a lot, and he didn't, and he's fed up and left, which is fair. Totally. And I think he's kind of destroyed that relationship now. He said he was lied to and he didn't enjoy it there and all this stuff recently. And yeah, he's good with his feet. He saved a penalty in his second game.
Yeah, he looked really, really solid in his second game for Nottingham Forest. And I think, to be honest, Ten Hag might be kicking himself, but also Dean Henderson also said in an interview that he didn't really want to build a relationship with Ten Hag because his mind was already made up before he kind of came in the door. So I think, you know, the ownership, maybe Ragnick. I mean, Ragnick's gone now, but, you know, I think that was a poor a poor person to let go, but also completely understandable that he wanted to leave.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's move into the defense now. I mean, there's clear places that they need to upgrade.
Yeah, and even, like, how is Phil Jones still in the squad? He's played, I think he played one game last year. Yeah. Didn't play the season before that. Like, let this guy go. Terminate his contract. Get him out. It's not good having him around. Lindelof as well. Doesn't play. He's now fourth choice, even fifth.
Yeah.
I guess competing with Eric Bailly.
Mm-hmm.
Even Eric Bailly, why is he still there? The clubs would want him if they tried to let him go. They're not making moves to get rid of players who they don't want.
Exactly. Yeah, I saw Lindelof was linked with Roma, I think, to go link up with Mourinho again. Like you're saying, they've had some of these centre backs. Like, Phil Jones has been around forever. You know, Lindelof, Bailly, I think, been around since the Mourinho era, which is, you know, quite a while ago now. You know, they need to start offloading some of these players. Like, you look at teams like, you know, Chelsea, City, Liverpool, whenever there's players who are they're not using a lot and effectively using them, they're just wasting spaces on the wage bill. You know, you could get a pretty penny for some of these players, get them out and bring in new talent who might actually have a chance in the team. Because now, you know, ahead of Lindelof and Bailly, you've got Varane, you got the fridge, and you've got Lisandro Martinez now. So you've got three center backs who, you know, will occupy those positions, and they've got four center backs, including Twanzebe as well.
Yeah, like, even if you keep Bailly and you let him play, why is that better for the team if you're losing games than throwing in Twanzebe?
Yeah,
who's just young. Like, he's been okay on loan.
Yeah,
why not give these guys a go, these young guys?
I know. It'll be interesting to see now that he's back from Aston Villa, you know, Twanzebe, see if he'll get some game time in the cups and stuff. But, I mean, it's just not, like, it's not cutting it. And, I mean, you know, looking at their starters now, I mean, you know, everyone was, you know, concerned about Lisandro Martinez's height when he came in. I think, you know, understanding his qualities and stuff, I think people kind of thought that he would be okay, because he is an excellent defender, and you know, he compensates for his height. But I mean, in the past few games, his height deficiencies have actually been quite prevalent, which is proving to be costly. And then obviously Harry Maguire, I mean, he's just not, I don't really know what to say about him anymore.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason he plays now is because he cost 80 million.
Yeah, it's true.
Which, you have to be more cutthroat. Like, if you're, the ownership is telling Ten Hag, you have to use him. That's a mistake. When Ten Hag joined, he said, I joined because I was made promises about what I could do with the squad. And clearly something's not happening there.
Yep.
Maybe I'm not really sure, to be honest. But how would you navigate the Harry Maguire situation?
It's hard to say, because, you know, anyway, if they sell him, no matter when they sell him, they're cutting a big loss on him. But, you know, he's not a leader anymore, I don't think. Like, he doesn't really seem to lead the team. Like, when you watch him in games, he's just kind of moping around. You know, kind of, you know, sometimes kind of rile them up. But he just doesn't seem like that leader they need. And I think that, you know, you could stick him on the bench, but then again, you're going to have that thought in the back of your head. I've got £80 million sitting on my bench, most expensive centre-back. So, to be honest, I think, you know, like you said, being cutthroat and just kind of cutting your losses at some point and just kind of saying, look, we got to get rid of him. Let's try and get the most amount of money we can for him. And let's, you know, bring in new life, because I just don't think Maguire's it anymore for United.
Yeah, and I think that's another mistake on the Conte situation. If Conte had come in, I'm sure we'd talk about Maguire as a great center back. He turns players into superstars
at the back.
And in a back three where he has help, especially from, let's say, an athletic Wan-Bissaka, maybe at center back, or Sandro Martinez or Varane, these guys are way more athletic, and they can compensate for how slow he is. In a back four, he just gets shredded apart.
Well, you can also, you know, there's been a few games for England when we've played a three back. You know, I definitely don't like it when we play three back for England, but there's been a few games where you've seen, you know, Harry Maguire's actually looked quite decent. And, you know, like you kind of said there, it's, you know, it might be because he's got John Stones and Kyle Walker next to him.
Yeah.
Or, you know, two players who can, you know, kind of make up for his blunders. And, you know, so, yeah, he is a liability in a four back, because he's not He's not fast enough. He's so slow on the turn. If a ball goes over top of him, like, any quick striker in the league is just gone.
I wonder what would have happened if he had gone to City instead, because he was the prime target instead of Ruben Diaz. Or actually, I guess he was the backup to Koulibaly, possibly.
Yeah.
But City wanted him so bad, they offered 60.
Mm-hmm.
And then Leicester said, we want 80. Obviously, they backed out, and Man United paid that money. But I feel like there is a way to figure it out with him in a four-back. Pep Guardiola thought so.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, you look at even like Laporte. Laporte's not one of the fastest center-backs in the world, but he is, you know, absolutely quality. I think it's more when you don't have that, you know, the pace, you don't have some of those physical attributes, you know, you can't turn quickly. You got to understand how to play properly, you know, and the other defenders have to play according to that, you know. So Harry Maguire cannot play a high line, because if they play a high line, there's just going to be tons of balls going over the top, and they're just going to, you know, strikers will just run in behind him. He needs to play a lower block, and, you know, unfortunately, every other defender in the team will kind of have to play to that. Otherwise, he's going to be just keeping everyone onside. And for, you know, your Varans, your Lisandro Martinez's, they probably don't even want to play like that. Because Harry Maguire can use his, you know, when he plays a low block, he's got his physical attributes, like his heading, his jumping, which is better for him to use. But Lisandro Martinez and Varane, who are, you know, quicker, you know, Martinez is obviously smaller, they want to play a higher line because they're able to, you know, catch fast strikers and stuff, right? So, you know, it's almost like Maguire just doesn't fit in with the players he's put around as well. I think, you know, I think if he was next to a Ruben Diaz, who's also not, you know, very fast, but also, I mean, you know, Man City's a different topic because of all their other players. You know, I think Maguire would be an excellent, excellent center back in a team that is, you know, just dominates possession like a Man City. And I think that's what United want to be, but they just don't have the quality right now.
Especially in the midfield. Mm-hmm. So let's move on to the midfield shortly. But before we do that, who are you kicking out of this squad? This summer, you say there's 2 weeks left. Go find yourself another club.
Just for defenders or for everyone?
Just for defenders for now.
Okay. So if I'm talking, you know, realistic ones, I'm saying you get Lindelof out. I'm saying you get Bailly out, you know, loan option to buys. Maybe I would sell one of them permanently.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the other one on loan, so you just got him around. I would keep Twanzebe around. He's kind of your younger, maybe, you know, more promising guy who does have potential and can play in cup games. Phil Jones, I'd just let him leave to a championship club.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
I would probably do the exact same thing.
Yeah. And then if we're talking fullbacks, do you want to go to fullbacks now or should we?
I think they're okay right now in terms of who they have. Like, I think they need to sign someone in the right back position.
Yes, I think so.
I don't think they give up anyone until that happens.
Yeah, well, there's been talks about Wan-Bissaka moving back to Crystal Palace, maybe. But you, like you said, I think they're going to want to sign someone first and then let him go after. Yeah. But I think Wan-Bissaka's career at Man United is also done now. Yeah.
And I think he's going to go to another club. He's going to go back to Palace and be very good.
Definitely. And I think because he's, you know, Palace aren't always on the ball. Wan-Bissaka is still one of the best 1v1 defenders in the league.
Mm-hmm.
But he just doesn't have the quality going forward that Man United need.
Yeah.
So I think he'd be, you know, he'll go back to Palace and he'll do awesome again, but at United he's just not it, and I think he needs to go and be replaced with someone who's got more creative outlet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Alright, on to midfielders, which is, I mean, this whole thing needs an overhaul.
Yes. And
I mean, there's not that many players. It's tough to get rid of anyone because I think they're all useful.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's unfortunate that James Garner is the only one leaving on a permanent.
I think that's very sad, yeah.
Where he looked like he was kind of like their next young academy, I don't want to say superstar, but looks like a very competent player.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you can let anyone go at the moment.
To be honest, with just the little amount of depth they have right now, I would say you can't really let anyone go either. As soon as they sign someone, though, they need to get McTominay out the door.
Yeah, for sure.
He is an absolute deadweight in the team. I'm sure all United fans can agree with me on that. Scott McTominay, he has, you know, I think I was reading on Reddit the other day of this is like a Man United thread. And, you know, McTominay's always been kind of crap, pretty much. But it's because, you know, you'll see him, you know, put in a proper effort, or he'll do like a really good slide tackle at some point and just show passion for the team that everyone kind of thinks, you know, he's got it sometimes. And he'll, you know, sometimes pop a couple of long rangers in. But other than that, you watch him play, he is a liability defensively. He has no, like, his dribbling, his passing abilities. He offers nothing going forward, really. Like, he just doesn't have vision. He's not very good at transitioning from defense to offense, you know, because that's what you need from a center mid kind of position that he plays, you know, in a double pivot. He just doesn't have it, and I think he needs to go as soon as they sign that kind of, you know, cause the burning position they need is a defensive midfielder.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't think there's much more to say about that. On to the attack.
Yeah, let's do it.
So I think, I mean, there's so many young players that I don't think they need to do too much changing up. They do need a striker.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's only one guy we should really be talking about. What do they do with CR7?
Yeah, it's proving to be a very, very difficult saga that they're dealing with CR7. You know, it's looking likely now that he's going to be out the door. I just think his attitude, it doesn't seem like he wants to be there anymore.
I don't think so at all. And yeah. I think the reason they're not letting him go is, one, no one's going to pay $20 million for him. That's not happening. Not a chance you can get money for him.
Yeah.
But it's also embarrassing, I feel like, that one of the world's greatest players ever, Spenzi, comes back for a year. It's a huge deal. Everyone thinks they're going to be a great side.
Yeah.
And then they let him walk away a year later because of how bad they are.
Totally. And I think, to be honest, for the Glazers' point of view, and the Glazers are the owners of United, in their point of view, Ronaldo is a massive moneymaker as well. You know, Ronaldo is seen as, you know, one of two of the best players in the world. And, you know, just the sheer fans that he has, you know, I'm sure fans will follow Ronaldo and support the club that he's at, no matter what club he's at.
For sure.
And, you know, he brings in so much money, and the marketing opportunities you have with him are huge. And I think in their point of view, they're like, I don't want to get rid of him because he does so much for the club. But really, you know, looking at his performances, his attitude at the club now, I think it's time for them to part ways with him, unfortunately.
Yeah. I think that's very fair. And I think he's going to have his choice of clubs if he leaves. And I think he's going to do very, very well somewhere else. He's still Ronaldo.
Yeah. He's been linked with, you know, he's said his main goal is Champions League football. And, you know, I saw today he was linked with his boyhood club, Sporting Lisbon. They were looking to, you know, inquiring about getting a deal done with him. But, you know, that's the other thing. You know, he's been linked to so many clubs this summer, and a lot of them have turned him down.
Well, I think they turned down his wages. I mean, almost $50 million a season.
I agree. But, you know, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if some of those teams are looking at that, you know, that Man United locker room right now, and they're kind of like, God, I mean, he's such a pivotal part in that. He must be, you know, stirring up something. We just don't want that in the team, especially since he's only got maybe 1 or 2 years left kind of kicking around in the top leagues.
For sure. Yeah. All right, so I think we're sending Ronaldo away.
Yes, goodbye, Ronaldo. Yeah. Other than that, I mean, you know, I feel like they're just, you know, Jadon Sancho, Rashford, Martial, they got to just step it up. Like, they just need to do better. And I hope Ten Hag can kind of just, you know, implement that into them. You know, get them kind of firing again. Because, I mean, all of those players have looked incredible at some point in their career.
Yeah, for sure.
And, you know, you also look at, they have a lot of players who are kind of on the cusp, young players who are on the cusp of kind of, you know, maybe competing for those starting positions. Like, Alanga's obviously been starting quite a bit. You know, even like the Amad Diallos of the world, Shola Shortire, Alejandro Garnacho as well. You know, they're all young, promising talents who, you know, maybe this could be their breakthrough year if these guys keep crapping the bed a bit.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah. I think if they're going to lose these games, you might as well lose them playing academy players.
I agree, because at least they're moving towards the future. You know, it's kind of like, I mean, not to bring in basketball terms, but I guess like the 76ers.
Trust the process.
You know, trust the process. You know, use your rookies, build them up, you know, give them game time, give them experience, because that's one of the most, you know, the most valuable things in professional sport is just having professional experience, because that's where the players will learn and they'll grow, and, you know, they'll just develop into amazing players. So.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So should we move on to incomings?
Let's do it. So now that we've kind of cleared the dead weight a little bit, I guess we'll kind of fill in the spots where we feel, you know, I guess the most burning spots, you know, and that could kind of happen.
Yeah, this before year. The summer ends.
Yeah.
For sure. Mm-hmm. So the number one position that they've needed for years now, mm-hmm. and everyone's been saying it for years, mm-hmm. it's been a main target this summer, but they're very set on a certain Dutch boy.
Yeah.
They need a midfielder, and not just one. They need at least two this at summer. Least, like, yeah. They really need to change things up in that department. They get overrun in every game, regardless of who they play.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's an issue.
It really is an issue, and that was really prevalent in the Brentford game when Eriksen was playing as a six alongside Fred, I believe, and he just got absolutely destroyed by his old team, and it was so clear then that they need that solid defensive player who can, you know, break up attacks, you know, also solid on the ball, can move the ball around, and can also start the transition from defense to attack for United. They need someone like that because they're desperately missing that right now.
Yeah, so we're not going to talk too much about Frankie de Jong. Mm-hmm. That saga has been drawn out all summer. I don't think he wants to go there. That's what seems to be the holdup.
Yeah.
He wants to stay in Barcelona. And if he leaves, it's more likely to go to Chelsea, where they can offer Champions League football and a squad that isn't disastrous.
Exactly. I think that'll be, you know, that'll be pretty common for a lot of the, you know, the big name players. I think, you know, the players that will have offers from multiple clubs is, you know, a lot of them are going to be, you know, they're going to be getting, you know, like I just said, offers from not just Man United, from the Madrids, Chelsea's, Juventus's, blah, 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 blah of the world. And, you know, they're going to look at United, they're going to look at their situation right now. They're going to be like, I don't want to go there. I don't want to, you know, be an embarrassment. You know, I'm going to get paid a lot, but it's not worth it. So, you know, some of the players that, you know, Nick and I have kind of going to go through in this this list, they're kind of not necessarily, you know, the players who you may have heard of. You know, they may be some, like, you know, kind of under the radar names, but, you know, these are players who, you know, would probably want to come to Man United because it will be a step up in their career, and, you know, we think that there'll be players who can definitely progress Man United forward. Yeah,
for sure. At least like help steady the ship this season.
Definitely.
So first off, they need a destroyer and more of a progressive player. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, Fred is an okay destroyer, but he needs a lot of help beside him that McTominay does not offer. If you look at him for Brazil, he was great. Mm-hmm. Or he's great every time he plays.
Yep.
And again, another Manchester City target back in the day, mm-hmm. before Man United pipped them by spending a ton of money.
Exactly.
It almost feels like they go after these players not having a role for them in mind. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of, oh, if City or Chelsea wants these guys, yeah, they must be good. So here's a bunch of money.
It's kind of true. They don't pick players who fit the system. And I think, you know, that's also down to the control that the owners may have over the transfer business. You know, I think that, you know, we've starting to see with, you know, Liverpool and Chelsea now, you know, they're starting to give the manager like 100% or at least a big, big part of the transfer business, you know, kind of who they want to bring in so that can fit their style. I think at United right now, it's not like that. And I think that they need to kind of, the owners need to give up that power to the manager if they really want this team to click.
Yep, for sure. Mm-hmm. All right. So our first guy is Fabian Ruiz from Napoli.
Yep.
So he's probably joining PSG, but he has not left yet. It's still doable to get him. He's one of the best passers in Europe, and a very good, like, progressor of the ball. He gets the ball moving forward. He'll get it from Maguire to Bruno Fernandes, which no one can do right now.
Yeah.
And he has 1 year on his contract, and Napoli have said that he will not play any more games for Napoli. It's either he leaves or he's rotting on the bench and will not see a game this season.
Yeah.
So the opportunity is there. He's a Spanish international. He's 29, I believe.
26.
He's quite young, actually. A lot younger than I thought. Yeah, I think he'd be cheap. I think you'd get him for maybe 20, 25 million.
Yeah.
And he would be huge for this team.
I agree. And I think what he'll provide for United is he'll just keep them, he'll keep them ticking over. You know, like you said, his link-up play is excellent. You know, his ability to kind of link the defense and the attack together will be great. And, you know, he's also just a solid player as well. He's also left-footed, so he can play on the left side of the double pivot. And, you know, I just think he'll be a strong, strong player to, you know, just help Man United solidify that defense a little bit and with kind of that back six.
Mm-hmm. All right, so on our next one is Flavien, I have no idea how to pronounce this, Thai from Rennes. I'm not sure if I'm seeing that in the slightest. He's older. He's 29. Yes. And kind of a nobody.
Kind of a nobody is right, yeah.
I mean, anyone from that Rennes team is interesting because they were one of the best attacks in Europe last season.
Yeah, they were awesome.
And he is amazing at creating and moving the ball up.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, he's also an awful defender. He can't do it, and he doesn't press, which I'm not sure would help him in the Ten Hag system.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if Ten Hag would really want him, but another player that can just get the ball moving.
Yeah, that would be interesting because they kind of also, I mean, you know, they kind of brought in that creative player in Eriksen. I think he does offer a different dimension to Eriksen. You know, Eriksen's very much that skillful, creative player. And I think that Tai, or however we say his name, is, you know, maybe a bit more dynamic.
Yeah, you would definitely need someone like an absolute, a Casemiro beside him, per se. Exactly. Like someone who can break up play really well,
yeah.
Because he will not do that.
Yes, and that's who they've, I guess, been... They've also been linked with Casemiro, haven't they?
Yeah, but that's no way that
happens. That's very unlikely to happen.
Right. So. And then a final player I think I could touch upon in this position is Miralem Pjanic, who has been frozen up by Barcelona, hasn't really seen the light of day there in a few years, and that's just kind of deadline day, get a body in, who can kind of sit back and spray the ball out. Yeah. Not a great option, not ideal in the slightest, but... I mean, there's 2 weeks left, and Man United have been so slow to do anything. They need to just get guys in.
Yeah, I agree, and I do like that. I think he'll kind of be that, you know, that last case scenario if they just really need somebody to kind of come in and do a job. I think he'll do a half decent job. He'll be better than McTominay, but I mean, you know, he wouldn't be ideal. And I think that, you know, I think Fabian Ruiz should be top of their list, and yeah.
I think so as well. I think he's perfect for that if you can't get De Jong, which I don't think is happening.
Yeah, I highly, highly doubt it. I mean, if he's got Chelsea on his list and if he is leaving Barcelona, I don't see it happening. Yeah. So I think we would pay the money for him. Okay. Yeah, so those are kind of more of those players who will, you know, like we were saying, you know, won't necessarily play as that that holding defensive midfielder. You know, they'll kind of want to link up the play a bit more in the transition. So we'll kind of move into some players who, you know, maybe more of the midfielders who will sit back more, and their more goal is just to, you know, break up play, be physical, kind of get down and dirty. You know, because Man United desperately need someone who can do that, because their, you know, their midfield just gets passed through sometimes. Yeah, right now.
For sure.
So the first player we have on our list is, I believe his name is Maxence Kakere, from Lyon. I haven't watched him too much, as I don't really watch Liga much, but from what I've heard of him, he's supposedly an excellent player. Not only is he very solid defensively, playing as that defensive midfield role for Lyon, who I believe came third in Liga last year?
No, like seventh or eighth. They're
never mind.
Not a great team.
Okay, well, not only that, he's also done, you know, 37 successful dribbles as a center defensive mid. 40 successful tackles, you know, that's about 2 per game. Also around 2 successful dribbles per game. You know, those are decent stats for a defensive midfielder. Also 22 clearances, 43 interceptions won. You know, these are relatively decent stats for a defensive midfielder.
Yeah, and he's hyped up. He's only 22. He deserves a big move. He should get out of that Lyon team.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they don't play Champions League football either, they might be able to draw him in, but he would be expensive. I think you'd pay at least 50, possibly even 60 for him. I'm not sure if he's worth that much, but he would be a tough guy to get out of France.
Yeah, I agree. I think I think Leon will want to keep on to him as much as possible, or he'll go to, he'll upgrade in France and go to the, you know, go to Marseille, or I guess Marseille have Guendouzi, so maybe they don't need him, but, you know, maybe upgrade to a different team in France, if anything. But yeah, because I think the Leon will look at Man United and be like, yeah, here's our demands, and it'll be way more than, you know, yeah, it'll be expected to. So, interesting one, but yeah, maybe not as likely to happen.
Yep. So next up is Nicolas Dominguez, who's playing for Bologna, so mid-table Serie A side. He'll be fairly expensive, probably a good 30, 40 million, but he is a beast at just taking control of that midfield when it comes to tackles and interceptions. The thing is, he's not a very good passer in the slightest. You would need to put him beside someone who can spray the ball out.
Mm.
So if you signed him, you definitely need someone else as well.
Yeah, nice. I haven't heard too much about him, so I can't comment much. But yeah, I mean, he sounds like he would have the, you know, relatively decent qualities as well, as alongside that kind of progressors like Fabian, who we were just talking about.
Yeah, and then finally, Idrissa Gueye.
Hmm, interesting.
Who's old and has been frozen out of PSG. He's very close to joining Everton, actually. But, I mean, would he rather go to Everton or Man United? I think there's a level there. And he's old, but he can kind of hold down the position for a couple of years. The reason he went to PSG is because he's kind of a Conte-type sort of player who can sit, who can break the game apart, but also move the ball up. And he was great at his initial spell at Everton. And I think just he'd be very cheap, probably get him for under 10 million or even on loan, just to hold that position down for a year or possibly two until you get someone else.
Yeah, definitely. You know, sometimes that's what it's about, is just kind of getting a, you know, a more experienced player to kind of tick over the, you know, the club until they can kind of be in a better position to get someone longer term. One name that I kind of wanted to highlight, his name's Moises Caicedo. He's now at Brighton. He only came last year, so he came in winter last year. He's played only 12 games for Brighton so far, but so far he's looked absolutely excellent in the middle of Brighton's midfield. You know, now that they've lost Yves Bissouma, you know, they kind of needed someone to kind of lock down their defensive midfield position. And he's come in, he's not only proved that he's got defensive capabilities, he's proved to be a, you know, more of a box-to-box midfielder, but he's a tank. He's 20 years old, but he's just physically strong, capable. You know, he's played 90 minutes most games. You know, he's got an average rating of 7.7. match rating, which is excellent coming to the Premier League. The only thing about dealing with Brighton for Man United is Brighton are the most stubborn transfer dealers in the Premier League, and they will ask for a lot for Caicedo. But you know, I think he is an awesome player and he's young. Would Brighton be wanting to get rid of him right now, especially since he just moved not long ago? I don't think so. But I think he's a great player and definitely worth noting and checking out if you are going to watch any Brighton games coming up.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely an interesting shout. He was heavily linked to Man United before he joined Brighton.
He was, yeah. And I think he maybe just didn't have the, you know, back then he wasn't fully, you know, I guess progressed into the player he is now. But, you know, Brighton has some absolutely insane pickouts from, like, you know, the most obscure leagues and positions and stuff, and he's definitely, you know, he came from Ecuador, yeah, so he's from Ecuador and he came from the Ecuadorian league, which is really cool. So yeah, shout out Brighton for always finding the coolest players.
Yeah, facts. Mm-hmm. All right, and finally we have two options that can kind of transform this midfield, mm-hmm. make it completely change it up, and would make it one of the top midfields in the Premier League. At least starting caliber-wise. And the first one is Ezequiel Palacios, which I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right at all, from Leverkusen. He's still very young. He's only 23 years old. He's Argentinian, and he's a great defender, very progressive passer. He can sit back and he can move forward. Mm-hmm. Leverkusen are a tough team to deal with. He would be expensive, probably in the 50 to 60 million range. But if you're willing to spend that on De Jong or 80 on De Jong, why not kind of take a chance with a guy like this?
Definitely. Yeah, yeah, you know, for Leverkusen last year, he started 12 games, came in about 11. So, you know, he hasn't been playing as much for them. I mean, Leverkusen are obviously a great team in the Bundesliga. But, you know, he's very young, like as Nick said, at 23. You know, he played at River Plate before, which is, you know, one of the best teams in Argentina. You know, for his stats for coming on, you know, a lot of games of substitutions, 28 interceptions won, 19 successful tackles, 11 attempted dribbles. You know, these are, you know, relatively decent stats. And he's also got 8 chances created, 2 assists, 2 goals outside the box. You know, they're kind of fun stats. And I think, like Nick said, he's kind of like that all-rounder, as we could see from those stats there, who you know, I think would kind of be a, you know, United kind of just need that all-rounder, someone who can do everything, because they need everything to change.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, absolutely. I think it'd be a smart pickup, but would they invest $50 million into someone who hasn't played a lot? I am not so sure. All right, finally, the number one guy they should get, I hate to say it, is Ismail Benacer from Milan, which would be very tough to lose him, but he is borderline, like, unreal. He's in the 90th percentile plus for progressive passes, carries, tackling and intercepting in Europe. Like, this guy can do everything, and he's elite at everything. He's also the best dribbler among center mids in the top 5 leagues. So he can do it all. And for $50 million, which is his release clause, he would be definitely the best player for that price, hands down, and no one would come close. The trouble with him is that, one, he gets hurt a decent amount. And two, he's also really small. I think he's 5'6 or 5'7, mm-hmm. which I don't think would be that much of a big deal. Like, if you look at Conte, who's kind of changed the CDM position in the last few years, who's also tiny, mm-hmm. it would be fine. But since he would be playing alongside Fred with Lisandro Martinez behind him, there's just not a lot of physicality in that midfield if you were to sign him. So if you got Benacer, you would need like a big, strong guy to add some physicality, without a doubt.
Yeah, I agree, and yeah, that's why, you know, I think that's why Kante also works so well in the Chelsea system, is because he's always got, you know, big physical defenders, or, you know, relatively, you know, bigger, tougher center mid next to him as well. You know, I mean, go back to the Kante era at Chelsea when we won the league, it was Kante and Nemanja Matic, which is, you know, was an excellent combo. So yeah, I really like Benacer, but, you know, I think also now that Kessie's gone from Milan, I feel like he's going to be a pretty pivotal part in your
Yes, team. But there's also, he has 2 years left on his deal, mm-hmm. but he's been reluctant to sign because we're not offering a ton of money.
Right.
So Manchester United could come in and say, we'll double, triple your wages, come join us. I think they might be able to get him.
Yeah, that's true.
But for $50 million, I don't think you're going to get better.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think he's an awesome player. I mean, you know, he was very important in Milan's title run last year. Yeah, and I also think he's a great player, and I think he would do very well in their squad.
All right, so if you had to choose two of the guys we've talked about, who do you think you would sign?
Ooh, that's a good one. I think I will definitely go with Fabian Ruiz. I think not only is he an excellent player, who would just kind of be that missing piece, kind of, you know, play that 8 position where he will link up, you know, the midfielders with Fernandez and Ronaldo or whoever their attackers are. But he's also, you know, probably one of the more likely ones to come as well, because not only has he been linked, he'll be a relatively, you know, relatively decent price since Napoli want to get him out of there. So I'll go with him. And then the last one I'll go with, Chelsea's business this summer has been, you know, almost buying older players and then kind of, you know, going to build for the future in the next year or two. So I don't know why, but Idrissa Gueye kind of sounds like a just sounds like an interesting one, and I feel like I would just kind of like to see him there. You know, when he was back at Everton before he went to PSG, he was so good and so fun to watch, and just, you know, had that kind of knack about him as a defensive midfielder. So I think him alongside Fred would just be a cool duo. And I'd just like to see it. So I'm going to go with Idrissa Gueye and Fabian Ruiz.
Yeah, I think for the prices, I think that's the best way to go.
Definitely.
It's cheap, and it kind of holds you over for a couple of years until you can invest in a superstar.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, definitely. What about you, Nick? Would you go with anything different?
Probably not. I think if you could get if there was a destroyer at the club, like if you could get your hands on like a big tall guy, mm-hmm. I'd easily say Bennacer.
Yeah.
Him and Kessié 2 years ago were just unstoppable.
Yeah.
And I think with Tonali this season, he's going to be very good. So Bennacer is definitely the best one I would go for. But I think realistically, Fabian Ruiz and Idrissa Gueye would be great for the short term.
100%.
And the most realistic.
Yes.
I think as well.
Yeah. Alrighty. Well, let's move on to, I guess, the second position that Nick and I think, you know, is burning needs for United. And this is obviously, you know, very dependent on if Mr. CR7 makes his exit from the club. But we are going to discuss the striker position, you know, assuming that Ronaldo leaves. And we're going to be kind of, you know, just breaking down who we think would be a good replacement, sorry, for Ronaldo. So,
but even Ronaldo's not guaranteed to start more than 25, 30 games. He's 38. He's going to get hurt. He needs to be rested sometimes. And if what we saw in the first week against Brighton, when Martial was also out,
mm-hmm.
They had to play Eriksen as a false nine,
yep.
Which is just not ideal. They might even need to sign two guys if Ronaldo leaves, at least one.
Yes. I think, you know, it's the caliber player they'll sign will be the dependent if Ronaldo leaves, though.
Yeah,
I think if he stays, they're going to, you know, well, hopefully they'll go for someone cheap and, you know, kind of realistic. But, you know, I think if he leaves, they'll kind of go for, you know, that more kind of proven, maybe bigger money signing. Because I think that at that point they'll need it, because they won't have, you know, Ronaldo at all, and versus, you know, a little bit at the time.
Yeah, that's true. I also think this market is so difficult to navigate.
Mm-hmm.
If you want a good striker, you're kind of guaranteed to pay 80 million to 100 million plus.
Mm-hmm.
So, and with 2 weeks left in the window, you're not going to get any superstars, like not a chance. So you kind of have to shoot for lower expectations of who you're realistically going to get.
Yeah.
Our first name is Patrick Schick. I don't think this is doable.
I don't think so
in this
either.
Window, I think you're paying 80 million if you were to do that right now.
Yeah, he is a sick player though. He's a Schick player.
Yeah.
Sorry guys, please don't click off.
But he's just an absolute like killer in the box.
Yeah.
He bangs them in, but I don't know if he's has the link up ability that Ten Hag might want. That's my only doubt about him.
Yeah, I agree. Ten Hag likes strikers who, you know, are a bit more able in the link up. I think that, you know, yeah, he's just Schick is so clinical. Like, he will score you goals. But, you know, like, for example, at Ajax last year, you know, Haller, you know, he's got excellent link-up. Like, he's strong, he's physical, he's good at holding up the ball and kind of laying it off to the wingers or the attacking mids and moving forward from there. So, you know, and I just think the money that this is going to cost United, especially dealing with Leverkusen, I don't think it's possible. But, you know, if they could get him, they would have a goal-scoring route, 100%. But yeah, probably not likely, just because of the money, and also I don't think he would want to go to United either.
Yeah, that's very fair.
Yeah.
All right, the next guy is Habib Diallo, which is another absolute nobody, but he would be very cheap. He's 27 years old from Strasbourg. He scored 11 goals last season in Ligue 1. Again, not a creative player. He's really good at holding the ball up, and he takes a lot of shots, which is something the team needs right now. They're not taking many, at least not good ones. He also adds an aerial presence. So I think he would be ideal if Ronaldo leaves as a backup striker. And again, someone kind of carry you over into the next year or two.
Yeah, yeah. Looking at his stats, you know, he's got in the past 3 years, you know, he kind of averages around 10 goals a season, which is not bad, you know. But yeah, like Nick was saying, you know, he shoots a lot, which I think is, you know, especially that's, you know, no matter what, you want to strike, you want shots happening, you want shots going to the target. I think it's Brentford. I mean, in the first half, I think they had a couple of shots, and all of those shots were Bruno Fernandes' long ranges, which skied over the net. Mm-hmm. You know, just someone who can get into the box, you know, who should have good supply from the wingers, and, you know, just can get opportunities to happen. You know, you never know. He could turn into a, you know, he could turn into a clinical goal scorer in the end.
Yeah, and he can't get worse than what they've had in the past.
Oh, yeah.
The Ighalo a few years ago.
Oh, man.
Even Cavani, who's definitely a better player, but just played, what, maybe 10 games a season?
Yeah, I got injured too all much. The time. Yeah, it was a shame. So you never know. He's, you know, he's kind of going into his prime now, so he might, you know, might pick it up. It's an interesting shout, but, you know, also you don't see Man United going for these kind of off-brand players.
Oh, not at all.
You know, they're all about the the stature of the player as well, kind of like their social presence. Let's talk about a fun one. Kind of been bouncing around recently, and also kind of looks like he's, you know, maybe found a good home right now. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, there's been talks of him maybe being in a swap deal. This is Alvaro Morata. Kind of an interesting one because, you know, he's kind of been bouncing around, you know, between he was at Chelsea for a while, then he went back to Madrid, then he went to Juve, now he's back at Atletico Madrid. You know, kind of bouncing around, but, you know, in his first game in the league, he scored 2 goals. You know, he was looking really good in preseason. Looks like he might be getting quite a lot of game time there. But in saying that, there's been talks about him having a transfer away because Atletico Madrid might need to clear up their wage bill. There's also talks if Ronaldo went the other way, he could be involved in a swap deal. So, you know, these were kind of a few ways where Morata has been linked with United. What does he provide you? He provides you with a good presence in the box. You know, he's usually, well, at least in the past couple of seasons, he gets in the right places at the right time. You know, he's pretty good playing off the shoulder of defenders too. You know, he's got a bit of pace about him. Good in the air. You know, kind of help with the link-up play, like we were saying. He'll probably be quite a good Ten Hag forward, to be honest, because he's good. He's good linking up as well.
Yeah, he's kind of similar to Seb Haller,
yeah,
which Ten Hag had at Ajax. Like someone who's just very good at link-up. Will he score a lot? Probably not.
But yeah,
he'll definitely kind of get the team moving.
I think, you know, if he went to United, he would score 10-ish goals. I mean, you know, when he was at Chelsea, obviously he was not great, but, you know, he still scored us 10 goals in the season that he played 30 games, or 11 goals the season that he scored, played 30 games, and then after that he just was shocking. So, but, you know, I think he would do a job, and especially with the form that he's in right now, I think he would do pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, and finally, what I think is probably the best of these options is Moussa Dembélé from Lyon. I guess I'm suggesting a few Lyon guys.
Yeah.
He also has a year left on his deal. And this guy, I mean, 2 years ago, everyone was saying that he could join one of the top clubs in the world. I mean, Chelsea, I think, made a 50 million bid or something. He looked unreal. And yeah, he's kind of fallen off the last few years. I think he's just been really unlucky with injuries, and he had a really disastrous move to Atletico on loan a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But he's really come back, and he scored 21 goals in Ligue 1 last season. He bangs them in. He's good creatively, good dribbler. He's kind of just very well-rounded. And with a year left on his deal, you can probably get him for 20 million, maybe less.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I remember watching him play at Celtic, actually, and watching him kind of at the tail end there. He was a non-stop goal machine. And I think that he was, you know, I think he was destined for a Premier League move. Decided to go to Lyon, where he still was excellent. Had that loan move to Atletico Madrid. Played 7 games, did absolutely nothing. But he's found a new lease of life again, coming back to Lyon, which is always great to see. So, you know, I think that also, like you said, you know, he won't cost that $50 million that, you know, he was being bidded for a couple of years ago. I actually do remember Chelsea bidding around $50 million for him, which was, I'm so happy that didn't happen. But, you know, I think he would probably be quite a pragmatic solution, and you know, I think he would do quite well actually.
Yeah,
for United.
I didn't tear up the Premier League. Yeah, to be honest.
Definitely, definitely.
All right, so that's the striking position.
Yeah, striking position's done.
With. And then, so, I mean, they really need a right back. That's another pretty big issue. And yeah, maybe even a right winger. It depends what happens with Rashford and Sancho.
Yeah.
If Rashford leaves, or if Sancho becomes the starter on the left, which he was better at last season,
mm-hmm,
they might need a new guy, because a line guy is just not there right now. Maybe yeah, he will never be. I don't think it's the number one need. I think it's definitely that midfield and that striker need to be prioritized, like, now.
Yeah.
I think
adding a winger, though, would really add just some, like, dynamism to the team and just, like, some, you know, just maybe just a different, like, a little X factor. And I think, you know, sometimes you just, like, wingers in the league, especially in, you know, the league right now, it's, you know, you look at some of the best, most of the best players in the league, and a lot of them are in the winger positions. So, you know, I personally think that if United signed a winger, specifically a right winger, I think that, you know, that could just, you know, kind of change their attack, you know, a bit, depending on the player, obviously. And, you know, hopefully along with a striker would just, you know, kind of transform them into a more explosive and dangerous attack. So we're going to break down just two players for this position. The first one who's been heavily linked with them, obviously, was under Ten Hag at Ajax, is Antony. He's been linked with United a lot for that reason. And I think, you know, I mean, he had an excellent season last year under Ten Hag in the Eredivisie. You know, he's like I was just saying, he's kind of one of those players. He's very dynamic in how he plays. He loves to run at defenders, you know, being Brazilian, very skillful. You know, watching him in the Champions League as well, he was very fun to watch. You know, can definitely pop a few goals in as well. And, you know, at the age of 22, he's got plenty of potential ahead of him. He is going to cost them quite a pretty penny if they do end up going for him. But to be honest, I think he kind of has that X factor that, you know, might help United in some way.
Yeah, and he's young. He fits Ten Hag's system to a T. Ten Hag loves him. He would really be, he'd change things up for sure and make that attack really scary along with Sancho. And he can do it all. He can create, score, anything you need him to do, he will do.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And then the other one we talked about was another Ren player, wasn't it?
Yes, it is.
Mr. Benjamin Beauregard. I don't know, again, these French names.
Yeah, tricky.
Beauregard.
He's a lot older. He's 28.
Yeah.
But he was really good at Ren last season.
He had a sick season last year, yeah.
But he would probably be pretty expensive for his age.
Yeah.
But he's a really good passer and creator, which I think United kind of need right now. He's also a good defender. He tracks back a lot. And if you're going with an offensive fullback at right back, like Delo,
yeah,
he could help slow things down for the opponents.
Yeah. Definitely. I do like Beauregard. He was really good last year, and I think, you know, kind of having that, you know, that ability to have that offensive mind, that creative outlook, as well as having that defensive solidity in the winger position is, you know, kind of underrated. You know, I think he could also even slot into that 10 position sometimes if United needed him. You know, having players who can be versatile and can kind of, you know, play multiple positions. I mean, even with his defensive solidity, he could play in the 8 as well. So, you know, I think having a player like him, just having kind of his versatility, but also his, you know, his creativity and his, you know, solidity defensively as well, would definitely be a big asset to United.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah, so I like him a lot. If I had to choose between the two of them, I would say what United would need most right now would probably be kind of that X factor, kind of more explosive player, which I see more in Antony. And I think he would probably just, you know, kind of be more planning ahead for the future. But I do like both of them very much. But yeah, I think I'm going to go with Antony.
Yeah, I'd probably go Antony as well, even if he is going to cost. Yeah. I think they're saying 80 million.
Yeah. All right, well, last but not least, we'll quickly touch on that right back position, as it looks like it will need some strengthening.
Yeah, this one is really tough for me. I mean, late in the window, you're not going to be able to sign any of these great players.
Mm-hmm.
I think Nahuel Molina, who went to Atletico, would have been perfect, but they lost out on him. I mean, they've lost out on a lot of players this summer.
Yeah.
But so they need to find someone who fits Ten Hag's system more. I don't love Dalot, and Wan-Bissaka just doesn't fit, even though I think he's a great player. So my first shout is Darko Lazovic. He's more of a midfielder. He plays it as a left mid, actually, for Hellas Verona. And he's also very much a left-sided player, but he is right-footed, and I think he could adapt. He is an awful defender, but amazing offensively. Like, I think he got 7 assists last season in a okay Verona side. He would just add so much creativity to that right side. And if you're keeping Alanga there, I think he would be quite important for that. And he would be very cheap, considering the fact that he's 31 years old. Obviously, there are drawbacks. I mean, there's a reason why he's playing for Verona at 31. He's not very good at pressing. He's actually in the third percentile when it comes to pressing in midfielders or wingers, I guess, technically, in Europe. But he would be great for progressing the ball up.
Yeah, I haven't heard much about him, but he sounds like it would be a good asset.
Yeah, I mean, for under 10 million, I think he's worth a punt.
Yeah. Yeah, I would like to touch on one younger player who I don't think this team would really want to get rid of him, because he is their starting right back. And we've touched on this team a few times as well, is Jeremy Frimpong from Bayer Leverkusen. Dutch right back. He's 21 years old. He's been linked with a couple moves away. Also being Dutch, you know, he's kind of might have that Ten Hag link up some way. But you know, he's a very young prospect in that right back position, and I think he's looking like a really excellent kind of attacking right back. You know, in Bundesliga last year, he started 25 games. 30 chances created, 47 successful dribbles. You know, these are excellent stats for a 21-year-old right back. You know, very attacking. You know, he's proved that he's, you know, obviously he's got techers going forward. Also providing 6 assists. You know, a couple goals to go at it as well. I don't know how feasible he'll be to leave, as he's young and he'll probably cost again quite a lot at the end of the window. But I really like him, and I think, you know, kind of, you know, again, looking at those younger talents for United would be a cool thing to do.
Yep, for sure. It's definitely someone they need, but I just don't know if they can get this done late in the window.
Exactly. I don't think so either. Maybe it's a next year kind of move.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right. My final guy is another former Chelsea player, mm-hmm. and Davide Zappacosta.
Oh. Interesting.
He's not a bad player. He was decent at Chelsea when he played. He's more of a Conte player.
Mm-hmm.
And he's another guy who's not very good at defending, but a beast when it comes to attacking. He's still an Italy international, which is, I mean, he's decent. He's kind of fallen off since going back to Atalanta. He's played really well there, but you just don't hear of him anymore. And he's plays in a system that is very high pressing, super attacking, kind of balls to the wall offense, which is what Ten Hag wants to do with this team. So you'd fit the system, and yeah, kind of add a bit of a culture change. He's won a bunch of trophies in his career.
Definitely, yeah. I think, you know, he'd add some well needed experience as well. You know, he would also be excellent if United decided to play a 3-back. You know, he's kind of, you know, played that right wing back position, you know, at multiple clubs, at Atalanta, at Chelsea, you know, so on and so forth. So, you know, I think he would be, you know, he'd be able to do both. I don't think he's a long-term solution, but, you know, he'd be cheap. He'd be good for, you know, 1 or 2 years, and then until they kind of find that, you know, that kind of younger prospect like Jeremy Frimpong, someone like that who could take over that position.
Yeah, I think it's just, it's so tough that they've left all of these moves so late. They were really banking on Frankie Dion, which has not worked. Yeah. And now they need to make a bunch of signings in 2 weeks, which is so far from ideal.
I know.
All the other big teams got their business done months and months ago, like Manchester City, Bayern Munich.
Yeah, they did take a long time kind of getting, working on, you know, 1 or 2 transfers, you know, even Rabiot as well, we haven't even talked about, but...
Yeah, and which is off now, wants too much money, which I think is kind of funny.
I think that's, yeah, but I think that's good for United. I don't rate him at all, but yeah. Anyways, well, to conclude, I mean, you know, just from that, we can obviously say that United need a lot and a lot of work. You know, not only just what, you know, not only just the players we've talked about, which I think is the main issue, you know, kind of that's been proven now that they've gone through a few coaches. You know, I think, you know, the backroom staff as well, you know, the owners, you know, the management, not Ten Hag, obviously, as he's just come in, he's trying to, you know, find himself and implement his system in this team. But, you know, I think their ownership is just not... I think Man United fans are furious right now at their ownership. And I think that, you know, for them, the dream would be for the Glazers to move on. But, I mean, how likely is that? Probably not.
Yeah, they're making so much money off this team.
Exactly. So, you know, Nick and I's job was to do what we could. And, you know, unfortunately, we can't sack the owners. So... you know, we thought, you know, dealing with the players, working with the tactics, you know, kind of players who will fit in the system well, is really what United need to do right now. And they do need a big overhaul. You know, hopefully we've supplied some more realistic options for this window and maybe some players to look forward to maybe in the next upcoming windows as well. So yeah, we really hope you enjoyed that episode. Hope all you Man United fans are doing okay. If you need to talk to somebody, please reach out, because it must be a tough time right now.
Yes,
but
it must.
We hope that, you know, maybe Ten Hag, you're listening. Somebody at Man United is listening to this right now. You know, maybe you can take a little advice from two boys sitting in Vancouver right now.
Oh, yeah.
Alrighty, well, we really appreciate you listening to the 10th episode of The Football Spectacle, and we will be back for episode 11 very soon.
On to the next 10.
Let's do it.